Gentlemen, welcome to the Game Week 9 No Cash, No Code podcast. We're back on schedule and keeping me on time as ever. I, the Commissioner, Andre Clark, have been joined by, well, what should we refer to him as now? He's obviously had a championship already. He's flying high. It's the one, the only historian himself, Mr. Tom Maxwell. Tom, how are you?
Very well, Andre. Thank you. Pleased to have got through the Champions League days. Not something that my team Chelsea have to worry about this year. And now we can focus on the important stuff coming up this weekend.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was actually Game Week 9, 2023. It sounded like it was Game Week 9, 2021, and the podcasters were reversed, but that was the voice of Tom. We've won the Champions League, you haven't, Maxwell. So that's a cracking start. All right, we're going to have to power through this one because it's a working day, but we wanted to get this one out. It's listener, which is Thursday night for me. Obviously, we have a deadline coming up. You'll hear this at the time of the deadline now that I've worked out modern technology. So let's have a crack through. Heck of a week, wasn't it?
Great week. Really, really fun FPL week. We've got some highs, we've got some lows. Why don't you remind us of what actually happened in the football before we get into the more important what happened in the fantasy football?
Language is everything, isn't it? Like I said, what a week, and you said great week. It wasn't a great week, and here's why. So we started game week, first game, never back the early fixture. It's Liverpool versus Everton. It's a derby. It's 2-0. It's 2-0. It's week over for guys that don't have a Salah in their team. Turn it off. Let's reset. See you on Thursday after the Champions League. But I guess for other people, it was a cracking start, as you put it, or a good start. Then we had Bournemouth versus Wolves in the most pointless fantasy football game of all time. Brentford versus Burnley. We saw the ghost of Mbeumo go mental. Thanks for that, mate. Then we had Manchester City versus Brighton. The man Haaland had a target to hit, and he hit the target just once. Newcastle did what is becoming Newcastle things with a 4-0 slacking of Crystal Palace, with Trippier being the man at both ends of the pitch as usual. And then we got into another game that really shouldn't have any fantasy interest, and yet somehow many of us have to worry about Nottingham Forest versus Luton. We got what we deserved in a 2-2 game where no one got any points. So have a look at yourselves, people. Then we get into, now this is where it's weird because I'm reading my screen. It might be Sunday. It might be Saturday night. It's Saturday night for you. Late Saturday, early Sunday morning, we have what was supposed to be the game of the week. Now, I'll be honest, I was very drunk at a wedding. I avoided it all. I only watched the highlights. So my biased view of this game remains biased. A red is a red is a red. But Chelsea 2, Arsenal 2. I referred to Arsenal Tottenham as a 2-2 loss. Dare I say a 2-2 win from where we were coming from? What say you? How does that game feel for you?
Yeah, it definitely felt like points dropped from a Chelsea perspective. And for 65, 70 minutes, it felt like we, despite, you know, Arsenal certainly having plenty of the ball, our defensive numbers have been really good this season, but we keep conceding one goal. And we were holding you at arm's length pretty neatly. And then our goalkeeper did what he's been threatening to do all season, or has done all season without getting punished, which is pass the ball to an opponent player inside our half. And from there, it was really damage limitation. And Arsenal could easily have nicked it late on. Chelsea have an amazing ability to fall away in the second half of games. That's been another real constant thread. But there were lots of positives from Chelsea. The first half we played really well, didn't take our chances. Cole Palmer looks a player. Don't think anyone's hugely surprised by that, but he was certainly our best player. And it was a bit of a tale of two goalkeepers who just look not quite at the level, frankly. Raya, for me, was at fault for the very obvious cross. I can't believe Mudryk's trying to claim he was shooting. Raya's starting position was all over the place, and then he passed the ball to Cole Palmer, who didn't take the chance, and Sanchez passed the ball to Declan, who finished just spectacularly well. So disappointing, thrilled that we're competitive, but disappointing to throw away a 2-0 lead knowing that we've got some very, very tough games coming up, and Arsenal showing the grit that they needed to get out of Stamford Bridge with a point.
Second time on this podcast, I have to remind listeners which teams we both support, because that really sounded like an Arsenal analysis of a couple of years ago. Not taking chances, errors, letting the team back in for no reason, and a draw that feels like a loss, and us having a backbone that we're not used to. Shout out to Beckham for your well-timed documentary. Apparently, that's the only reason Rice decided to shoot into an empty net, based on his own interviews, which is bizarre at best. I'm not going to comment on whether or not Palmer should even be on the pitch for the glowing reference that you gave him there, but it felt from what I saw that 2-2 was about fair by the end of it, but I wasn't there live to go through the emotional roller coaster. I will take it. But anyway, so that's the end of Saturday night. Fantasy points scored finally for some of us there, and then you got Sheffield United versus Manchester United. Well, I'm not going to ruin pick of the weeks later or shout outs, but some surprising people on score lines yet again. Rashford owners, what are you thinking? Then we have Aston Villa 4, West Ham 1. Probably fantasy game of the week, maybe. Some seriously important players are in that game, and they got the points they were supposed to have. And we finished with my Monday night, my Tuesday morning, so your Monday night game. The game that was the cherry, the icing, the little bit on the top of the cake for those who had teams structured a particular way. I'm sure we'll get into this, but Liverpool, Spurs 2, Fulham 0, points all round for Spurs held players, bar one, who's a little bit tight, but I'm sure he'll come up later as well. So, a week that saw some ups and downs. Let's start with your thoughts on who got it all right. What was the best team this week?
So there were some very, very strong performances in No Cash, No Code this season. And the fun bit was that they came from all over the league, or every part of the league, from top to bottom. But there were five standouts, four of whom fell just short of 100, and one of whom got over the hump, which is always lovely to see. We had our first 100 burger of the season a couple of weeks ago, and that's been followed up again. We'll come on to that in a second. But shout out to Corky, a 97, very impressive week. To Fisky, who is having a lovely old time of it at the moment. We might talk
Isn't he
about that
just?
again later. 98 for Fisky. And then two 99s. Will Brox, a late arrival to the league, Andre Clark. Should we just touch quickly on, do we think
I
he was there,
mean,
whether he had a good start, and then decide whether he wanted to enter?
I think we need to put this one to the vote. Like, is this okay? Like, we went through a fair few weeks. I'm used to, there are certain names in the league that I expect every year. Shout out Corky. Luke Dane's not of this parish anymore. Jeff Brown himself. There's a few people I know I'm going to ask. They're going to say no. And then they're going to join in towards the end. Like, that's just part of the ritual. I used to be the very same person before. Obviously, putting a podcast together means it's obvious that I'm going to be back year in, year out. Broxy's in that category, and he has come in and come out on different times. But for him to choose to join the league under the misguided notion he was doing very well this year, it's only the fact he's not doing well that means that I'm not apoplectic about this. A full story. Sorry, listen, I let you into the inner circle here. So there was a series of WhatsApp messages. Basically, he has been no Haaland all season. When becoming no Haaland was fashionable, the week where Salah went mental and Haaland did nothing, was that 2, 3 weeks ago now? That was when he came out of the woodwork and started posting his scores. He then went through Phil Pemberton, the only person holding me up in the league right now, as a link that he thought he could have a cheeky look at No Cash, No Code, looked at my score, realized he was battering me, and thought that was enough of a reason to join the league. I mean, disgusting.
It's really not on. I would like to know, firstly, whether he's paid. And
Oh,
secondly, I'd also quite like to have someone go and have a look at his computer to see whether he started with four different teams and had just put the one that was doing best in.
that is true. That is true. I think because he's so far down the league, that would be pathetic if that was the case. And he did buy me dinner and apologize yesterday. He's live in Singapore at the moment, so
Fine.
on that basis, I think we're going to let it slide. But yeah, look for a vote, for
As
listener.
long as you're getting dinner out of it, Andre, that's the main thing.
Why else do I do this league? It's not to win it.
Broxy with 99, he's in third place. Kinder with 99 is in second place. And the reason why he, despite having the same score as Broxy, is there is because he got really unlucky in the sense that in the last minute of the Tottenham game, Kinder had a 100 burger, and then they took one of Madison's bonus points off him and gave it to Ronaldo, who is in Broxy's team. So basically, Kinder went from 100 to 99, Broxy went from 98 to 99. So that's why Kinder is in second. But top and pick of the week this week, you can't be the only 100 burger and not get pick of the week, is Bob, who had 103 points. He went from 15th to 5th in No Cash, No Code with that score.
Scenes.
And he did so without Haaland in his team. He picked Salah as cap, the right captain. He had Son and Madison. He had Burn and Trippier. He's even got Darwin, who was a bit unlucky only to get 4 points. He's got Alvarez covering Haaland, outscored him 9-8, and he's got Watkins. It's a team that looks like it could be quite interesting moving forward. He's obviously already wild carded. He's got a couple, three Liverpool players going into a great run of fixtures, couple of Villa players as well, with Cash even sitting on his bench, Neto on his bench. So very many congratulations to Bob. There was a point I texted you on, I think it was Saturday night, to flag the fact that both Bob and Fisky, with the Tottenham games to come, were potentially in with a shout of competing for week of the year, which, as you know, I currently am the holder of, but looking nervously over my shoulder. Bob ended up 100k in the world for the week, which feels a bit harsh when you get 103, but yeah. didn't quite get into five figures, but certainly a well and worthy winner of Team of the Week.
There's nothing to add to that. That's a phenomenal week. It's one of those weeks where everyone in the league feels like they did quite well. I mean, obviously, that's not strictly true. There's some 70s knocking around. And even we go down to some slightly lower that might get mentioned later. But I felt quite proud of the league, actually, watching the points go in. It's not helping me, but I did feel quite proud of how well these teams are structured. And it's nice seeing such differences, not just the obvious with the Haaland and the no Haaland, but it was one of those weeks where there are actual captaincy choices, and those that were brave, well, got rewarded, or in the most part anyway, apart from one that I'm looking at. But anyways, cracking week overall. That's just the overview of the team.
Just to add to that, I scored 85 points this week, which is the second highest points total I've had this season. But it was another red arrow for me. So still only three for the arrows this season.
Have you red arrowed your way to the top of the table?
Three green arrows, and top of No Cash, No Code.
That is fantastic. If I'm Mike Brown, I've got to be livid to be sharing the top with you on that ratio. But when you're good, you're very, very good, I guess. Wow. Okay.
I'll count.
Did love your vice captain choice, by the way. I was hovering over that one myself as the captain. But anyway, we digress. Not just about us. Who got it all right when it came to picking the right person this week?
So it was a really last week, as you remember, we had loads of really good differentials. This week, very much not the case, and there were some very highly owned good point scorers. So Becker, Alisson was the top goalkeeper. No owners there. Trippier is highly owned. Salah is highly owned. And Mbeumo is highly owned. Watkins is highly owned. So slightly less exciting pick of the week this week, but there were two players who were in Team of the Week who were double digit hauls and who are only owned by one person. I will also give a shout out to Phil, who hasn't been getting a lot of shouts this season for obvious reasons, but he was the only person with Rice in his starting 11. He was on someone's bench, I can't remember who, but he deserves a nod for that. I take that back. Phil had Rice third on his bench with 9 points, which when you're bottom of the league, that is a tough scene. So
I mean, you set him up there. Him up horribly.
I do apologize. Nevin is the only owner of Diego Dallo, who
lovely.
One of the bright spots for Manchester United over recent weeks, where their attackers who are in our teams have been useless. But he got himself 11 points and second place in pick of the week. But top And it's not the first time we've given this man pick of the week for this choice, but Hugo Gordon-Lennox is the only owner of Douglas Luiz, who continues
getting
to
break. Silly, isn't it?
He has scored in 6 home games in a row now for Aston Villa. He got 2 this week, in a week where many of us are on Diaby, we're on Watkins, we're on Cash, we're on others. And yet Douglas Luiz, the holding midfielder, continues to be the guy scoring all the points. 15 points he scored for Hugo, which, by the way, was much needed because Hugo doesn't have Salah. He captained Madison. He doesn't have Son. So 78 points was a red arrow for Hugo, but clung on to the top 10 thanks to the pick of Douglas Luiz. 2% owned in fantasy football. And yet he's challenging for top goal scorer in the league currently.
I mean, he's had 5 shots. It's just ridiculous what this man is doing. Like, it's a statistical anomaly. And yet, we've got Hugo benefiting massively. I did want to touch on that, actually, because I felt bad for Hugo, because he was the one I was going to point out earlier when talking about captains. A lot of Sun captains, a lot of de facto Salahs, but only a handful. The likes of Elijah, Nick Pick, went with Salah, even though they owned Haaland. So that's ballsy. Well played. That was a smart move overall.
Great.
The Madison pick was perfectly fine in its own right. Like, he scored points and he'd actually taken the armband away from Haaland to do it. So, pardon me. So I did feel a little bit bad for him when Madison fell so far behind those other contenders. So, yeah, very nice that you got a pick of the week to help him get up there. A little correction for you on Rice. We have only one Rice owner in the entire league, which is Pembo. Phil Pemberton. We have 3 Rices in the names of teams and 1 actually in a team, and that guy's not even playing in the team. When you're at the bottom, trust me, when you're at the bottom, that is going to really, really hurt. Segue. Shall we move on to some hurt, or is there any other picks that you want to mention?
Let's talk about some hurt. Such is the level of hurt this week that Phil Pemberton's Rice, 9-point Rice on the bench, actually doesn't even feature. I've got 2 with a similar theme. So Cavi and Ned both had Mbeumo on their bench.
That's got to sting.
Which, you know, fair play to them for keeping hold. He's someone that a lot of people have moved out of their teams. But you would have thought that might be Burnley, probably the second or third worst defence in the league. Brentford at home, always good at home. You'd think that's a week where you'd want Mbeumo, you're going to pay for him on the pitch. 14-pointer. Ned ended up with 18 on his bench. Cavi 15 on his bench. A real killer there. But I had to give Elijah hurt of the week because Elijah's had such a good season. Was up to 4th in the league, doing really, really well. Done so, and we'll touch on this in a second, without using his wild card yet. And he just had an absolute stinker, which was really polished off by Akanji's red card. Both him, Yamis and Ade all had -1s with Akanji, which in a week where there were plenty of clean sheets to pass around, would absolutely have, he would have expected to be getting some points from Kanji. But he doesn't have Son. And so despite captaining Salah, who scored 32 points, he ended up with 63, which in most weeks is a very, very decent effort. But when you've got people in the 90s and the 100s, is simply not going to get it done. And he fell from 4th to 15th. In 1 week.
Unbelievable crash. 17 places, the worst in the league by some distance and the worst so far this year. So, I spotted that one too. That has got to be... He's been flying so high and being so consistently good with his picks. One bad week is all it took to crash down that far.
Yeah. And, you know, with leaving Lascelles on your bench, Newcastle playing against Palace, currently the worst attacking team in the league, as a Les Palace just have looked so toothless. To have a catch of -1, a doggy who you might know got subbed off after 54 minutes when keeping a clean sheet, that hurt a few of us. But just a lot of pain there for Elijah. I'm sure he'll bounce back. He's having a great year, but he's getting hurt at the week of autumn break.
Definitely. I had a couple other bits I wanted to add to it, but I agree with you completely on it being Elijah. I had him down with that minus 11. Bob is the highest riser this year, this week, with his plus 10 that you would expect with that 100 burger that he put up there. I assumed it was going to be Mbueno. So we have two, as you pointed out, Mbueno's on the bench. But I thought, like, surely everyone has been getting rid of this guy. Only one person transferred Mbueno out of their team this week. Steve Suckling removed Mbueno for checks notes. Don't want to pronounce this wrong. I'm not even going to try. Wolves midfielder from Asia, Korean, whose name I can't pronounce right now and don't have on my
Yeah.
screen overall. That's the
Yeah.
one. He,
Yeah.
Hui Chan, that's his name. We couldn't remember it for the love of money. Yeah, that's a 14 out for four in. And I assumed that was going to be the worst transfer of the week. However, he used that extra money to go from Nottingham Forest striker, again, not on my screen right now, up to Watkins. That's the one, Ongi, up to Watkins. So I was shocked to find the worst transfer of the week is only a net minus 3 points. With all that moving around, the only actual bad mistake was a net minus 3 points, and that went to me. So it's going really well. It's going really,
Never
really
rains
well.
it all. It never rains it.
Saka for Martinelli. I'm just feasting on Arsenal bad decisions right now. Right, I think we've got one other clear bit of any other business. Today is the 26th of the month as we're recording it. Do we get past manager of the month this weekend, or do we have
No,
one
one
lagging
more week.
game going off, one more
One
week going
week,
in?
and it's a close one. No surprise to see the big scorers from last week, Kinder, Bob, Will, Andy, Fisk, all competing for it. There's 10 points between Kinder, who's got 166, and Mike Brown in seventh for the month in, on 156. So there is lots to play for. So it's Kinder, Bob, Broxy, Damien, Ali Maxwell in the hunt again, Andy Fisk, and Mike Brown. They're the top seven, all within 10 points of each other. So we will see who is going to take it at the end of the month.
All to play for. And so just to make sure we are calling it, the month finishes this weekend. Yes, because the next games start on the 4th. So, yep, this is the final weekend. Hold on, I don't know if you can hear this. That's the rules of no cash, no code being adjusted. Will Brox, you are not eligible for manager of the month. I'm not having that. Like, I don't mind him joining the league, but there is absolutely zero chance he gets the manager of the month. So that one is well and truly out of contention. Thank you, my friend. That was
Agreed.
a great roundup. Oh, sorry.
I've got a couple of quick ones for you. Just a wild card update, if I may. We had three
Please.
more wild cards this week. Tom Kane, 84 points. Ricky Singh, 83 points. Tom Everett, 72 points. As we know, we're looking for longevity on our wild cards, but I think it's safe to say none of them shot the lights out in week one. That now leaves 13 out of the 37 in the league to still have a wild card to play. All of the so th there's only two in the top 13 who have not used their wild cards
That's
yet,
impressive.
which is Ned and Fred, who are sixth equal. They have the same amount of points. They are 40 points off top and still have a wild card to play. I would suspect we might see a few wild cards this week coming up. And then rather fun. So we've got sixth equal, both still to play. And then we've got 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, all with wild cards still to play. They're only 50 odd points off the top. That's Nick Mick, Elijah, Ali Maxwell, Jeff Brown. And I think general consensus so far is playing the wild card earlier has benefited most. Just to back that up, I had a quick look at the data. In the top five, no cash, no code, all have used their wild cards. The average price of their teams or transfer budget is 102 million.
Oof.
The six top people in no cash, no code who haven't used their wild card, the average team value is below 101 million. So there's over £1 million worth of difference between those who have and those who haven't. And I think that that will play a big factor given that everyone's trying to crowbar four or five very expensive players into their team.
I think it really is. I'm a quick shout out to a team that you just mentioned there. I know it's a little bit off piece, but I really like the patience you sent it about Fred and Ned, which just rolled off the tongue perfectly there, not pulling a wild card. Fred's just much better than me. I'm looking at this team. He's got Archer, Bayer, Bulldog, and Morris. This is not, we, n none of these names would be seen on the wild cards. Maybe Bayer would be seen on the wild card team. And yet, here he is flying high and having nerves of steel with a midfield of both Mitoma and Mbeumo. He's somehow managed to be that high, still carrying a Rashford and a Bruno Fernandes. Scenes. I mean, when he pulls that wild card, he's going to be an absolute danger. So, yeah, exciting times ahead for that team. That's going to be a contender, as are, I think we're settling. We're starting to get to a point where I know there's a long way to go, but some of the bigger names, some of the guys we thought would be contenders, are rising to the top as we speak.
It's definitely it's still tight enough for sure. Myself, Damien, all within 3 points at the top, and then there is a 30-point gap down. But that next group between fourth and sort of mid-table 17th, is the gap is literally 15 points. So still all to play for. Just one last thing. I had a quick look through some of the form teams. Ali Maxwell, seventh green arrow in a row this week.
Oof.
Still not playing his wild card. He told me he doesn't have time to play it this week, which is a different version of fantasy football to the one I'm playing. Fiske has six green arrows out of the last eight. Very consistently moving up the table. Very impressive. First year back in the no cash, no code. At the opposite end, George Johnson. We often talk about the fact that he likes to have one quick tilt at manager of the month before falling off a cliff. He has absolutely done that. And he, in the last 2 weeks, was 5.5 million and 6.5 million in the world. He's moved from
Wow.
100K to 1.3 million in 2 weeks. Rob Leach, five red arrows in a row. He was in the top 50K in the world in weeks two and three. He is now 2 million in the world. Colin Dash, he has had six out of eight reds and gone from 350,000 to 3 million. And Andre Clark.
No one cares. Moving on.
Moment.
I do want to go back on one of those names that you said there, because listeners of the pod would want to know what's happened to our boy. So, from the time Rob graced this podcast with his dulcet tones, it's not gone well, has it? I mean, that is a curse of Manager of the Month right there. Let's get this. Yeah, it's been literally every week but one since the podcast. Quite the fall overall. But he has got 103 million team value right now. So maybe he's just like getting the cash together, ready for a big run later on. Rob, we're rooting for you. Anyway, mate, that's it from us, I think. Is there anything else you want to cover?
No, that's been a lot of fun. Good luck, everyone. Have a great week and great to chat.
Awesome. Catch you soon. Bye.